Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and on this week's program, I'll be talking to the director of the National Latino Strike Force, Duke Machado from Texas. His group is helping Republican candidates run and win. Then we'll hear an interview that our chairman of the Republican Party, Steve Pierce, did with Frank Niemeyer down on Carlsbad Radio. But right now, on the phone with me, I have Duke Machado, who is the director of the National Latino Strike Force. Duke, how you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me on.
Well, I appreciate
to be here with you. Yeah.
I appreciate you calling in because I want to hear what you're doing. What is the National Latino Strike Force?
Well, we're a group of volunteers who understand the significance of the Latino vote. And we also understand that no one's going to make this vote come around unless we kind of get in and do it ourselves. Or maybe it would happen, but we want to make it happen sooner than later. So our efforts are focused on contacting registered Latino voters, primarily Republicans, but in some city races and nonpartisan races, we'll call them the Democrat just as well, because we want to increase a conservative Latino vote. That's our goal.
And so we have Republican candidates now who are of Spanish heritage, who are running for offices on the Republican side and winning. And it seems like our friends on the other side of the aisle sometimes don't quite know how to deal with that. And in some cases, our Republican candidates are even getting retribution for switching parties.
Yeah, well, you know, it's hard to be a Democrat in today's Democrat Party. To go along with the Democrat policies is to go along with abortion. It's to go along with all of their communist socialist tactics and dreams and visions. And not every Latino wants to go down that path. And their eyes have been opened and the wool has been pulled over that the Democrats have been just playing the propaganda over and over. And Latinos are smart enough to say, you know, you've been saying this for so long, we haven't seen any changes. They don't believe the lies anymore. That's why it's urgent for us to make the moves that we're making right now, because time is perfect.
I understand that President Trump had, the first time, a few more Latin people voted for him, but this last time in 2020, he had a huge part of the Latino vote. So I think a lot of folks were seeing the difference. And quite honestly, Duke, it's not even just Latinos. A lot of people are seeing the difference now. And so the left likes to categorize us. And so I know we have to use the word Latino or Hispanic, but aren't we really all Americans?
We are all Americans. And you know what all Americans want is prosperity. We all want freedom. We all want the government out of our business. But how does one get to prosperity? The thing is the Democrats have convinced minorities that the only way the playing field can be leveled is if the minorities are given things, given instead of a hand up, they're given handouts. And what I like about the Republican Party and what Trump did was they brought back prosperity. They brought back the idea of capitalism and free enterprise and how this is the winning solution. It's not socialism or Marxism. It's not communism. I mean, that fails everywhere. And Latinos especially, where right now you could, in Mexico, you could work your rear end off for a whole week. You have any idea how much you'd make?
Yeah, not
working
much.
10 hours, 12 hours a day in the hot sun, sweating, in a whole week, you're going to make $50.
Wow.
50. That doesn't work.
No, not for me, certainly. And here in New Mexico, our Latin population have embraced capitalism. Most of our small businesses are owned by Latinos here and
That's
prosper.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. And under the Trump campaign, they launched the Hispanic Prosperity Initiative. And just like how Trump launched the black economic initiatives that he did and the funding to predominantly black colleges, he knows that the real way to level the playing field is to get government out of the way and to spark innovation, creativity, free enterprise, entrepreneurship. All these are gifts that we have as being American citizens, all have the potential to do this. And what the Democrats want is they want to take it all away and put us all on welfare. It's so stupid. I don't get it. And I think more Latinos are waking up to the lies of the Democrat Party.
I'm curious, and I'm talking to Duke Machado, who is the director of the National Latino Strike Force. Duke, how did you get involved in this? Don't you sell cars? You have a car dealership?
Well, I've been in the car business 25 years. After my time in the Air Force, I fell in love with the car business, and I have a knack for it, I guess. And so, yeah, I've been a dealer. I've been a wholesaler. I've done all those things. But what woke me up to politics was the day Obama was elected. That night, I was sitting there, and I just couldn't believe it. I sat down on my sofa in shock, and I was mad. I was upset at the party, and how could we lose to this guy who's never had a job? To me, Obama was, there's no way he should have won. But there he was with the victory, and I blamed everyone except myself. And the truth is, I didn't do much of anything because I was just one of those working Americans, working, taking care of the family, thinking that everyone else had politics under control. But they didn't. And it's unfortunate, but it took an Obama to wake me up. It woke a lot of people up because in 2010, the big surge of the conservative movement started. The Tea Party and just people were just fed up. And so I kind of was swept up in all of that. And I vowed to not sit on the sidelines anymore. And I got started building Hispanic Republican clubs in my county and here in Texas. And one thing led to another. And just as you go and grow in politics, it's all based on your word, on your ethics. And you get turned on to one person and network into another person. And as long as you keep doing good and doing it for the right reasons, those connections get bigger and stronger. And we have built our network on the shoulders of some really strong volunteers who have shown and given effort, just like we're doing right now in New Mexico, calling in from New York and Texas and different places from our network to help Lori Robertson. So it's just a matter of focus in generating our attention to who we want to impact is the Latino vote. That's where we feel if we can gain ground there, then we can win long term. And, you know, the Democrats won't have this stronghold on the community, on the people at large. So we're going after the Latino vote because we know there's value. And I'm just tired of our people. Someone says, who are your people? My people are my people, okay? I'm tired of us being misled, hoodwinked, you know, empty promises. We can't fall for the empty promises anymore. And so we need to be on the side that's pushing for the leadership to solve problems. It's not always easy to solve some of the problems that we need solved, but we need leaders willing to do it. We want to impact those elections.
Yeah, I think Donald Trump had a lot to do with that because, like you said, people have been saying the same thing. Oh, we're going to help you. We're going to help you. And nothing ever changes. Donald Trump says, try something different. Vote for me. See what happens. You've been doing the same thing. Try something different. And they did.
What
they
do
saw
you have
the difference.
To lose? Yeah. What do you have to lose?
Yeah. So now if folks are listening to us right now and want to get involved with what you're doing, is there a way for them to do that?
Oh, absolutely. So we have a website. It's LatinoStrikeForce.com. And right when you get to that website, there's a sign-up button right there. You click the sign-up, and it puts you in our master roster of sign-ups. We're working in 5 states right now, but we have the go-ahead, if we have the volunteer forces, to go nationwide. We can go as big as we want or stay as focused as we want in these races that we're working in now. But I can tell you, we've got people contacting us. They see what we're doing. And people need help. It's unfortunate, but there's a lot of people running for office that they don't have money. So how are they going to get things done? They can't pay people to make calls. They can't pay people to block walk. They might be the best candidate in the world, but they don't, you know, they haven't raised the money. So that's kind of where we have been kicking in. We've been helping candidates who haven't had the resources. And now that we've got resources and data and tools and in the block walking and phone banking resources, We can help flip a race. We can help keep a seat. We just need the volunteer force. And we've got a pretty good force, but we need more.
I'm talking with Duke Machado. And Duke, I appreciate you coming on Inside New Mexico, telling us about what you're doing. I hope people will go to that website, get involved with you, because this is how we make change, is grassroots, like what you're doing.
Well, thank you for the time. I appreciate you.
Our chairman of the Republican Party, Steve Pierce, had a conversation with Frank Niemeyer on Carlsbad Radio, and we will hear some of that coming up next on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Thanks for staying with me on Inside New Mexico. Last week, Frank Niemeyer down at Carlsbad Radio talked with our chairman of the Republican Party, Steve Pierce, and I'm going to play that interview for you now.
Welcome to Carlsbad Radio. I'm Frank Niemeyer. Just extraordinarily pleased to have Steve Pierce, chair of the Republican Party of New Mexico, with us today. Mr. Pierce, thank you for making some time for us. I know your world has to be extraordinarily busy as well.
Busy and enjoying life. I hope that you are too, Frank.
In fact, we are. I'd like to start in the state just a second and talk about the upcoming short session of the legislative on the legislative calendar and some issues that are going to impact us here. The governor's administration is requiring that all of the legislators who are going into the roundhouse and meeting in committee meetings all be vaccinated and wearing masks. Can you reflect on that? How is that going to impact our doing business?
It appears that the legislators are not required to be vaccinated because the statement in the ruling was they have a job to do like the rest of the people don't. So it looks like it's going to curb the ability for residents to go in and either watch the proceedings or voice their concerns. And I think that's why it's designed that way.
To keep people out, potentially.
I think so, yes. You remember last year they had a fence around the whole Capitol, and no one got in. And so, again, the process of government should be open and transparent. Instead, last year was completely opaque. It looks like, of course, the only ones who are not going to be vaccinated are going to be conservatives, people who are worried about the outcomes of the vaccinations themselves. And so I think that it's going to keep out a lot of the Republicans who would like to go up and make comment at the committee hearings or testify about bills.
We are particularly interested in this Energy Committee meeting. What typically is participation like for citizens to this kind of meeting, and how do you expect this might impact that?
Yeah, I sat for 4 years on the Appropriating Committee, and we had citizens always just filling up the room, listening to the different bills that were being presented to us, asking for money. But then a lot of times there were questions coming from the audience. They'd come up to the speaker stand and address the group, and that's the way it should be. We had to answer questions for people. They could hold us accountable. But when you don't have access, when a regular citizen can't get in, then they're completely at the mercy of the reports that come out, whether it be from the media or from just staffers. And so it's a big problem when you start limiting access by the people to the process of government.
I'm going to have to go look up the story. I didn't understand that legislators don't have to be vaccinated, but that's a useful bit as well. So what do you expect the potential impact is going to be on the outcomes, you know, the decisions that are made? Does that really swing the outcomes of the legislators' votes?
It swings their actions. Whether it swings their votes or not, I'm never quite sure.
Right.
But 2 or 3 years ago, the Republican Party organized 9 major demonstrations having to do with gun rights, the right to life, crime issues. And every time we did that, then the legislative leaders would move their calendar because we'd have 900 to 1,000 people show up outside the Capitol. And then, of course, they wanted to go in and be in the committee hearing. And so the Democrats in charge would simply cancel that committee discussing the bill that was being protested against, and they would move it to a different time. So they always want to keep their actions hidden. Good government says we'll make our actions public. We'll let the public have the view. Transparency is important. So it's the actions as much as anything else. I will tell you that when citizens see their legislators, no matter if they're registered in the same party or not, when they see them just turn a deaf ear to their protests and to their statements, that's what the legislature is afraid of, the reaction in the voting booth the next year. And we're going to see that in next year's election. We just saw it last November, that's where the real reactions are. When people can see what's going on, when people saw what was going on with the schools firsthand, they saw what the schools were teaching their kids because COVID kept the kids at home. Then the response the next year was school boards this last November changed hands pretty dramatically across the nation, but also here in New Mexico.
Right, right. So the short session, the legislative session, comes up in just weeks. I mean, we're already there. Do you expect an impact on our 30-day session?
Yes. Now, keep in mind that the legislature is calling itself into special session next week. On the 6th, Monday of next week, they start considering the reapportionment, and that's the redistricting going to be pretty effective, and that's going to be hidden as well. That's where the real travesties are going to occur, when they lump Republicans and cram them all into one small district. And then that gives Democrats more control in the legislature. So that's going to be closed to the public on the vaccination order just as well as the short session next year.
Let me just say, Steve Pierce is on the radio. We're getting some insight into the impacts on New Mexico legislative actions in light of the entire national mood and the impact of COVID. COVID cases are up in New Mexico. Can you think that through for us a little bit? Are we doing enough? Is this a natural ebb and flow, in your opinion? What should we be thinking about our actions during this period?
Well, number one is that the places that are most vaccinated are showing just as high or maybe even higher trends towards COVID infections. Vermont is the most heavily vaccinated state in the nation. Their cases are up dramatically. Colorado is heavily vaccinated. Their cases are up. Worldwide, the same thing is happening. Portugal is one of the more vaccinated nations. Their cases are up. Israel, the same thing. So vaccinations are not working. So what's happening is then the leaders in the blue states are knee-jerking back to the mask mandates. Recent Copenhagen study came out saying that the masks are of minimal value. Even Fauci early on had said, no, the masks don't do anything, and then he reversed himself because they wanted that public appearance of we're doing something. Right. So the mask mandates are beginning to bounce back into place. Los Angeles, you even have to have your mask on inside your own home if you have somebody outside, the people who live there. You have family come over for Christmas, they're going to have to wear masks. Other places are even canceling Christmas gatherings, and so that's what we're faced with. Now, Florida is one of the more open states. Governor Ron DeSantis, a Republican, has kept the state open. Their cases are down, and so the herd immunity looks like the most promising path forward, but the states like New Mexico are insisting on the vaccination. It just appears to be doing no good at all.
What's the position of the Republican Party on getting vaccinated?
I think it's personal choice. My wife and I got the initial vaccinations. We're not going to get the boosters. I think it's personal choice. A lot of people who are not anti-vaxxers, a lot of people are suspicious of the process that was used to create these vaccines. They weren't tested very thoroughly. They see people nationwide and worldwide who have tremendous health problems related to it. The doctors in Lubbock tell us that they're spending more of their time dealing with patients who have been vaccinated and the results from the vaccinations. So we just tell people, make your own decision, but be very cautious.
We will be back with more of the interview with Frank Niemeyer of Carlsbad Radio, interviewing the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce, in just a moment on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. We continue now with the interview that Frank Niemeyer of Carlsbad Radio did with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce.
Are you suspecting widespread voter fraud in New Mexico? What's your thinking about the results of the last election here and the 2022 election?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the more damaging things that the Secretary of State did was she allowed different county clerks to kick us out, kick the Republican poll challengers out during the process of absentee ballot certification. Now, in your absentee ballots, that's the most critical step when you find out if there is enough documentation on the ballot to actually count it. And since we were kicked out during that process, we believe there was a lot of fraud in absentee ballots, but we weren't even allowed to be in there, and the Secretary of State upheld that. The Supreme Court refused to hear our case. We were in court within minutes of being kicked out, and so that's one of the more troubling aspects that shows how deeply the corruption goes here on the ballot process in New Mexico.
I never understood their thinking on that. That just seems wrong.
It is wrong. It's totally wrong.
What do you think is the most egregious thing that needs to be addressed, particularly in the Secretary of State's position?
Number one, we have carried, I think it's five different cases to the Supreme Court of New Mexico, and we've prevailed on all of those. The first thing it needs to address is their willingness to just outright break the law and to abridge the things that are written down that she's supposed to do. Secondly, the ballot security is most at threat from this mail-in ballots. She was going to just mail out ballots to everyone. The law did not give her the right to do that, so we took that to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court 5-0 decision in our favor saying, no, she doesn't have the right to do it. Then an egregious thing happened that the legislature convened in a special session, and then they allowed that mail-in ballot to occur. That's where every citizen gets a ballot, regardless if they vote or not. So you have ballots stacking up, ballots just being carelessly laid out on the tables in the post office, ballots that are available everywhere. And much of the problems in the elections across the nation are originating there. So that's probably the most egregious thing that's going on in our election code right now.
Do you think that they just don't understand the law, or they were just trying to push it to see how far they could go? I know you can't read somebody's mind, but what do you suspect was motivation there?
It's a playbook nationally for the Democrats. They want all of these ballots out in hands. What they were doing, and the Supreme Court recently agreed with the Republican National Committee, the RNC took it to the Supreme Court saying that the ballot harvesting is a real threat to our republic. What they were doing is going door to door. You can find out who doesn't vote, and they were going to the Democrat households with door-knocking teams saying, we know you're really busy. You probably aren't going to get your ballot in. If you'll hand it to us, we'll turn it in for you. Oh, yeah, sign it down here. So they get a signature, and they would fill it out and carry it in. Kristen Sinema out in Arizona got 50,000 extra votes out of the Phoenix area because the Democrat Party was out harvesting ballots, and the Supreme Court now has said it's illegal. But the control of the Senate is different because of that one election. But it was happening nationwide, so that's an egregious thing that is going on right now, and it's a threatening thing. But yes, the Democrats know exactly what they're doing when they pass these laws.
So Steve Pierce is on the radio, chair of the Republican Party of New Mexico. I'd like to spend just another minute on energy. I was reading some energy analysts who are interpreting President Biden's current position as kind of backing off of his hard stop, for example, on leases of public lands for oil and gas. But that could be sharply curtailed by rules in New Mexico, correct? Am I right on that? Can you think that through for me?
The Biden administration is very conflicted. They came out really heavy against oil and gas. The courts then pinned them back and said, no, you can't do that unilaterally. This has to be changed through Congress or whatever the courts decided. They began to limit their ability to shut things down. So the environmental community is now in an uproar that they're not doing enough to shut down oil and gas and coal production. It's a very radical view, and so the Biden administration is very conflicted. They're doing one thing one day, then something else the next day. I fault our governor for not getting right into the Biden administration's face and saying you've got to consider that states like ours depend on the oil and gas revenue to fund our government. Over 40%, now moving towards 50%. Of our tax base comes directly from oil and gas, and the progressive movement nationwide and the progressives in Santa Fe are trying to kill that industry, and our governor needs to be speaking up for it.
Do you expect to be back in court after redistricting efforts?
We expect that they're going to get very political with the maps. Egoff, you remember the Speaker of the House, said after Yvette Harrell was elected, right. He said, just wait till after redistricting and we'll see if she can hold on to her seat in Congress. He intends for it to be a very political process. It should not be a political process. It should be a fair process to make sure the will of New Mexicans are listened to at the ballot box. So we will see, but we expect we have to go to court to try to stop him from doing the very political things he's wanting to do.
That's Frank Niemeyer talking with our chairman of the Republican Party, Steve Pearce, on Carlsbad Radio. If you've been listening to the program and find yourself agreeing with a lot of the topics being discussed, party affiliation aside, and you want to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can do that several ways. One, check out the website at newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at New Mexico GOP. If you would like more information about the Republican Party of New Mexico, maybe you're a Republican thinking about running for office next year, you can call party headquarters at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. There are also local county parties you may want to get involved with. You can get that information from Republican Party headquarters as well. I'm Derek Underhill, and I look forward to meeting with you again next week right here on Inside New Mexico.